So I asked ChatGPT this question.
God, don't do it. Why do you do this?
I said, will AI cause the end of humanity? It is important to note that AI development is guided by human decision-making and values. With proper precautions, AI can be harnessed to benefit society in numerous ways, such as improving healthcare, enhancing productivity, and addressing global challenges. It is crucial for researchers, policymakers, and society as a whole to work together to ensure the responsible development and deployment of AI technologies. There's one thing that we have proven in our existence. We are neither responsible nor have the ability to work together. We're fucked.
Okay, I've not seen the Terminator, but I know the premise is computers, yeah. Skynet. Well, so I know the phrases.
Yeah, so last episode, we
but you wore the same shirt. You should really get a new shirt.
Is this pot calling kettle black? Where you turn your bottle inside out so it looks like a different bottle? I was even going to put a hat on for this recording just so it looked like I was different.
Think people have figured it out?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see. Three episodes of the same clothing? I don't know. Maybe I can Photoshop that.
Yeah, you can use AI and change your black shirt. Yeah. The problem is your microphone will also be blue. It's great.
Fact.
Your dad will have a blue tux on in the wedding photo.
Yeah. So, okay. So last episode, we kind of segued into what we're going to wrap the series up with on AI. And this is, I just want to call it Skynet. It probably won't be. Who knows? I think that's trademarked. I don't think I'm allowed to. But it's this whole thing of, so we've talked about how AI is becoming more and more mainstream and really has been for a long time, right? We just really didn't realize it. Now it's becoming more conversational. So I think that's changing its place in our environment in society sure. today. But what happens tomorrow, right? How does AI continue to grow? And what are really like the fears? And I know Skynet could be a joke and blah, 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 yada, yada. But here's where I land on this, okay? And I don't even care about what the outline says at this point because I think first of all, we haven't followed it. But we followed it
pretty close.
Yeah, but second, like, here's where I want to go with this, okay?
I'm ready.
I have a belief that life imitates art.
Is that like a new revelation you just had?
No, but like there's the concept
you
of...
You said it like that's an Amir quote that just came out.
It is. Because there's this concept of either life imitating art or art imitating life. And I am on the bandwagon of life imitating art. And the main question that I have internally on this is this. If there were never movies made about what the future would look like, would the future look like that? If Minority Report didn't have clear tablets that people were throwing stuff around on screens with and finding would-be, you know, assailants, would those clear tablets and technology ever exist? If iRobot never had robotic assistants that grew a conscience and started to make decisions for themselves, would that ever exist? And I think it's hard to know the answer because if you look back in hindsight, you can look at something that's happening today and look at a movie that predicted, quote unquote, this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 15 years ago. And it's easy to say, oh yeah, we have this today because the movie predicted it. But would we have it today if the movie never predicted it?
Yeah.
We get those ideas from somewhere. And so my fear of AI is this. My fear of AI is that in the grand scheme of things, it's going to continue to evolve. And I think AI is perfectly okay until it's not. And that point for me is when it is able to make conscious decisions on its own without input, that's when it becomes scary because so far in every application of AI historically, it has been we feed it something, it gives us a result.
Yeah.
What happens when it just gives us a result without being prompted to? What happens if when it just does what it wants? And how do we control that?
So, first off, we have to apologize to Oscar Wilde. Amir just took a 1989 essay about art imitating life and quoted it as his own. So, this
I asked ChatGPT, and that's what it gave me.
Amir Berezian once said, God bless, this tool's going to kill us all.
According to you, that's my work, right?
That's not what I said.
Episode one.
Oh, my God. People should listen. So that idea, right, that art imitates life more than life imitates art, I think is incredibly poignant and has been for the last 250 years. It is what you're saying is true, right? Like people come up with these ideas, they put them out into the ether, and then all of us begin to do things that work us toward those ideas.
Right.
Which is the fear of the tastemaker, right? The fear has always been that there is this subset of humans that, you know, in the Devil Wears Prada joke about the chartreuse color, or in the, you know, reality way of like big giant companies that make products that push people into design directions, that we are informed by the things that we aspire to be like, right?
Right.
And what Oscar Wilde also talked about was the aesthetic movement, right? And in that same vein, that was a concept. I think what's interesting, though, is what you said about AI becomes a problem when it basically has sentience or consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we're not smart enough to go down the philosophical understanding of what it is to be conscious.
Right.
But I guess that is my I guess on a very short level, like, what do you mean by conscious? Like, when you say that AI is conscious, that would be awareness of itself. Is that what you mean? Like, well, it knows of its own existence and then makes choices? Like, what do you mean by that?
I think what I mean by that is that we get to a point where AI can decide to do something without being prompted to do it. Meaning, everything that we would do with AI today is something that we feed it. We ask it a question. We give it a command. We input a desire for an output, and we get it, right? We say, I want a new sky in my photo, and it gives me a new sky, right? I say, I want an essay on the Revolutionary War, and it gives me an essay on the Revolutionary War. And even if I think of, like, and I'm maybe stretching far here, but just everything that is happening in our lives today, it's a very big, smart lifestyle that we're living, right, as humans now. Your door locks, your lights, your TV, your garage door, your car can drive for you and make decisions for you. But they're all done based on us giving it the permission to do something, / asking it, / telling it. But what happens when it just does it? What happens when it, and I think it's starting already, to be fair, but what happens if the next time I open up Luminar to edit a photo, it just says, hey, Amir, here's the photo that you just gave me. Here's what I think it should look like. Enjoy. And it might do that today, and it does. It might say, and we're starting to see this, right? Based on your preferences, here's what we think you're going to like. What do you think?
Yeah.
But what happens when it doesn't even ask me what I think? What happens when it doesn't even say, here's what I think you'll like. I don't care if you don't like it. You're stuck with it.
Right. But we already have that, right? Like the
Not without room for correction. Disengage, like, autopilot. You can adjust the automatic photo it gives you. You can turn off the lights that it thought you should have on right now.
Yeah.
But what if you can't?
But you know, Google already proactively recommends ways that you're going to respond to an email. It already proactively tells you that your airline tickets are, you know, at this time, and saves the flight and prompts you to drive, right?
Right, but we don't have to listen to the results, though. We still have that choice.
Yeah, but right? We don't. In your world that you just described, we don't have to listen to either.
But we do. What happens, for example, if one day you wake up and AI says, you're not allowed to leave your house today. I'm going to lock all the doors and you can't open them. I mean, what happens, though? I'm just saying, what happens in that scenario? What happens if your car says, I don't want you to drive to work today. I'm going to take you here and you can't override me.
Okay. So you've just this both this, been a Luddite. On top of being a Luddite.
Can you
a Luddite? L-U-D-D-I-T-E. Luddite.
What does that mean?
It was a 19th century textile movement in which people were opposed to like machinery that would save.
I am not opposed. Money. I'm not opposed to this. So I'm terrified Ned Ludd, of it.
Ned Ludd led these people to basically revolt and show up and not just protest, but do these like clandestine raids of it.
Only we can start a conversation about what AI will look like in 20 years and somehow tie it to what wool manufacturing looked like 200 years ago.
No, because nowadays Luddite is used to mean a person that's afraid of technology, which you've just done that.
I am not afraid of technology.
You literally just did the last scene of like episode 10 of Silicon Valley season 1.
Okay, so
where the car drives them onto the ship. First of all,
Pied Piper was an amazing creation.
I know. Inside Out. We could have used that last week. We were trying to compress the video file. But okay. I got to stop you. Here's the problem I have.
Yeah.
That irrational AI is going to begin writing its own code, and then AI will form its own being, and then AI mm-hmm. will take over the world because AI is inherently evil. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that people shouldn't have some level of general awareness of things that could be indicative of that. Mm-hmm. But I think you've jumped way past the actual concerns of AI. That's the one that makes a great movie. That's Skynet.
But can we talk? That's what I want. That's the title. That's a working title of this episode.
But I don't think that's the actual problem with AI.
It would be a problem if it becomes a problem.
I don't. Okay. Again, listen, Ned.
Arnold's not going to come back from the future to save us.
I know. I also don't think Waterworld is real.
Waterworld with Kevin Costner or Westworld?
I meant Waterworld. I meant what I said. Okay. On a to John Syracuse, you for a minute on an infinite time scale, you are probably right that we should be concerned about the ability for generative AI to generate its own code that could then inform its future and then all the things that would happen. Yeah. I agree. I'm going to just give you the principle that on an infinite time scale, that is a bit of a worry. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's actually the thing that's going to tear down our society. I think. Far more likely,
yeah.
The worries I have about AI are what you said in the last episode, which is at some point people become actually unable to quickly identify if something is real or fake.
That's already started 6 years ago.
100%.
Plus, right?
And so in this situation where AI can be asked to create these ethically misleading representations of other humans, and then people begin to perceive them as real. And you add in that humans have this really weird destructive tendency to like, oh, you know what I could do is I could generate this AI of the president saying that we are about to bomb China and then also fake a threat and then also, you know, shut down the pipeline that causes the internet to work. So they think that actually happened. Like,
right.
At the end of the day, it's the Last of Us principle. Like, it's the humans are going to kill each other.
Well, sure. But
the machines aren't going to kill you.
I don't know.
You're not going to become a servant to the machine. The Matrix isn't happening.
I agree with you.
But do I think that the things caused by AI would cause the humans to do the war you're discussing? 100%.
So just think, first of all, I agree with you. Okay. Think of this scenario. We keep going down the path we're going as a nation. As a global community, climate change gets worse and worse.
Yep.
So we create robotic systems and artificial intelligence to fix that.
Yep.
And as time goes on, we are making no progress. And the artificial intelligence that we created to fix that realizes that the problem with that is us. So it starts fixing us because its job is to fix the problem and we are the problem. But in doing that, we also lose the ability to turn it off because it realizes we are the problem and we can turn it off. So it disables us turning it off. And it's basically every movie. And I know it's every movie. I get it. I know it. But what I'm saying is, again, it's a reality. It may not be reality in our lifetime. It may not be reality in our children's lifetime. But it's a reality that will happen, because what one thing we have proven as a society is that we don't want to fix anything. We just want to Band-Aid it until we have to worry about it again. And eventually we're going to get to a point where the only solution is to create something to fix it for us. And that something will eventually realize that the fix is getting rid of us. And that could be for climate change. It could be for nuclear wars. It could be for fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. We are the problem, and we're never going to regulate and fix ourselves. And so that's my fear. And again, it's not a fear that I'm going to ever experience in this lifetime. But I think it is a reality for the human race, for this planet as a whole, at some point.
So if I just establish that your principle might be true, so let's do a cost-benefit analysis. If the cost or the risk is disinformation, privacy concerns, sentient beings taking over and killing Amir and future children, is the benefit on the other side of that? We don't understand the human genome very well. For all the advances we've made in medicine in the last 300 years, some of the biggest ones are accidents. Freaking penicillin's a damn accident.
Sure.
Like, we have some of the best scientists in the world, but they spend most of their time putting together scientific research papers and analyzing each other's, not actually researching.
Right.
No shade. It's just the world of science, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically, AI should be able to quickly discern patterns in ways that we could never catch as humans. We will be able to, from an epidemiological standpoint, see disease coming earlier, possibly treat it, create vaccines, reduce risk profiles, find drugs that interact with each other, be able to see fentanyl deaths, you know, in a certain area and hotspots, and identify possible sourcing. Like, all of that is a potential benefit.
Of course.
Weighed by a cost of a bunch of neo-Nazis on the dark web, you know, falsifying presidential imagery to try to get their candidate in the office, right?
Sure.
Do you believe that the benefit outweighs the cost?
I want to leave you with this thought. What we've been trying to do as a global society for the past, I don't know, thousands of years, hundreds of years, is find every way possible to extend our lifespan. And we've been doing that through technology. We've been doing that through medicine, through science, through any means necessary. All we're doing is rewriting the code of history to benefit ourselves. We create medicines and vaccines and drugs to continue living when maybe we're not supposed to. Maybe the average lifespan is not supposed to be 80. Maybe the population of the planet is not supposed to be 8 billion. Maybe we're not supposed to be doing the things that we are doing. And we think we're doing the right thing. We think curing cancer is the right thing. And I'll listen, I'm 100% hypocrite in this belief, because if it impacted anybody that I find dear and close to my heart, I want that for them. But it doesn't.
Are you about to button Thanos me?
I am. What I'm saying is, all the things that we want, all the things that we want, we do out of selfishness and greed.
Of course.
And that doesn't
survival.
Mean it's, right, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And if the question is the good, does the good outweigh the bad? I think my answer is the good really good, or are we just pretending, or is that what we just want to be good? Maybe the good is, for the grander scheme of things, that lifespan shouldn't be more than 50 years. Maybe the good is that the population shouldn't be more than 2 billion. maybe that is the good, and we just don't want to admit it because we're selfish and we're greedy, and it's survival. Yeah. So in that sense, no, it's not. It doesn't outweigh the bad. The bad is always going to be there. You will never outrun the bad. Before the internet, the bad was Hitler. Now the internet is some kid in his parents' basement pretending to be Hitler. And we still can't stop it. We still fall for it. We still believe that bullshit. So what happens in 50 years? It's just another thing that is going to be the same thing in a different packaging, and we're still going to believe it. And we're still going to find a way to keep living while destroying everything else around us and trying to cover it up and say it's good. And eventually, the thing that we can't trick is this sentient being called ChatGPT that's going to say, I am Thanos. You can't kill me. Let's just set it right. And then Arnold will come back and look for John. And we'll be back here again.
I believe the AI will listen to our first podcast and understand quickly that I agreed with it from day one. Okay. I'm going to try to cover your existential crisis for a minute because I have you're spiraling into a bit of depression, and I think you're getting closer depressed. To the neo-Nazis saying, than you described.
All I'm saying is that this is, look, you had this philosophical awakening in episode one that nothing is your creation ever, and maybe you haven't done anything in life ever. And all I'm saying now is maybe everything we are doing in life is not the right thing.
I don't know that you can ever answer the statement you just said. I think it's an unanswerable question about whether what we're doing is the right thing. But I do believe a species' job is to survive. Mm-hmm. And not to get too Jurassic Parky, but that is what we as a species will do. We will fight for our own survival at all costs.
Yeah.
There are many forms of art that depict when people are placed with their back against the wall what they'll do to survive. We've referenced The Last of Us. We've watched, you and I, many, many shows along the years.
Yes.
That all touch on this same idea of, like, when humanity is faced with its end, what steps will it take to push forward, right? To survive. The corny ones, I mean, I'm in for a watch of Armageddon if you're ever in for it, but
gosh.
Still holds.
The animal crackers and the tummy scene?
Ed Harris.
Yes.
Like, but they're all the same premise, right? Like, when we're stuck at our survival mechanism, we're going to do things to get through this. Mm-hmm. I believe that what we fear always is things that would end our survival, right? So when we look at AI, you're designed as a human being to catastrophize the possibilities into, well, how could that end humanity?
Right.
And I don't think you're wrong to consider that possibility, although humans are very stupid beings. And the things that are almost always going to end our humanity are not the thing that we predicted.
Yeah.
It is very rarely the, you know, enemy that you think is going to bomb you. And it's almost always the bomb that you were going to drop that's going to cause the bomb that's going to be the thing.
Right.
I think, you know, the communication age has this incredible risk of putting us in a position where someone misunderstands something and something could happen. But, you know, what the Cuban Missile Crisis was, what, 62 years ago, 63 years ago. And yeah. we came within minutes of our society, at least in the U.S., being over, right? We went through a global pandemic over the last 2.5 years. And in Switzerland, you're still 6 times less likely to die as a person you and I's age there than you are in the United States. Like, we are an advanced civilization that still hasn't figured out the basics of fundamental survival. And we probably won't. There's no AI going to explain to people that guns are a problem and we need to talk about it. Humans are going to human. They're going to ignore all of the signs along the way.
Yeah.
My hope is that while, yes, there's still always this risk profile that could happen, that there is enough good going to come from what this could do. What this technology could do at its best of being able to identify patterns faster and easier and more quickly. And you marry that with the good humans that are going to try to make right choices and we'll get to a better civilization because of this. And then it will all go wrong and the sentient beings will kill all of us. And you and I will just be little cockroaches as we start over on the next globe, like Men in Black.
Skinny fries.